Hi there, you're listening to the Crunchy Catholic Podcast. I'm your host, Rosie, traditional Catholic wife and mother, bringing you messages of hope and encouragement during these crazy times that we're in. Here we'll talk about faith, motherhood, and natural living, but also all the areas in between. I want to help you not just survive motherhood, but thrive in it. In this day and age, we have so many resources at the tip of our fingers if only we put in the effort. I am a firm believer in personal development and always striving to put our best foot forward. Sometimes that means the more technical matters like baby wearing or sleep training, but it also refers to the most important matters such as prayer life and living out the truths of our Catholic faith. While all these resources are nice, I also know that it can be a bit overwhelming knowing where to even begin. That's why I'm here to help you find the balance between all the things that come with mom life while also living out your Catholic faith in a way that is pleasing to God and effective to the development of your soul and the souls of your children. After all, that's why we're here. All right, without further ado, let's get into today's episode. Hello, everyone. Coming to you today with the podcast episode, Are You the Mom You Always Thought You Would Be? I think this is probably a thought that has crossed almost every mother's mind at any point of season in your motherhood, whether you're just starting out or you're many years into motherhood. I almost can't even believe that I am going on 6 years into motherhood as my oldest is having her birthday next month. Super wild and crazy, and anytime you hit these milestones, it definitely leads you to just reflecting on things. And there are many days, not just recently, but over all the years that I've been a mother, where I have thought this to myself, and I've heard other moms say it as well, so I just felt like it was a good episode to share some thoughts on. So when we think back at when we were maybe younger and thought about being a mom, or maybe when we were pregnant and we knew we were about to become a mom, of course we're already a mom once we're pregnant, but you know what I mean. What are some of the things that we thought of? Like, oh, I'm going to be, you know, the fun mom that never loses her cool, or I'm going to be the mom that does crafts with her kids every day, or I'm going to be the mom who has like this really fun schedule for my kids where we always go to the library on Tuesdays and go to the science center on Wednesdays and, you know, have this like total routine where they know what to expect, or I'm going to be the mom whose house is never a mess, or I'm going to be the mom whose house is a mess and I can embrace it and it doesn't get to me. Thinking back on some of the things that you expected out of yourself as a mother, what can you say now about, you know, how far you have either exceeded or failed to meet that standard? So I'll just share, like, personally, because this is going to help you to kind of do this same little experiment in your own mind. But some of the thoughts that have crossed my mind are that I used to be a really, really fun babysitter, auntie, nanny. So when I was in my teenage years, I did a lot of babysitting and I was a really fun babysitter. I did lots of activities with the kids. We would, you know, get outside and do this and that, and we would do crafts and we would do games and we would do dress up and we would do songs and we would do skits, all kinds of things. Super, super fun. So that was mostly babysitting either my nieces and nephews or some kids in our parish. And then even as I got older, before I was married and having kids, I did some babysitting in my early adult years because, you know, there was either people through work who needed it or like some of my own sisters, you know, who needed to do like something late in the night. And so I watched their kids. And again, I was really fun. Like, we did all the things. I had all the energy. I had all the mental willpower to do these things. And then when you become a mom, obviously a lot of that changes. And what I can reflect on that is one of the biggest things with all of this is to say to please not guilt yourself, because there are so many factors that play into making this very, very different. This is a different comparison. You're comparing apples to oranges to compare and say, was I fun at taking care of kids before having kids myself? And am I just as fun taking care of kids now that they're my own kids? It's comparing apples to oranges, but we are still comparing it nonetheless, because I think there is some good that can come out of it, and we will get to that. But some of the things I reflect on are the fact that when I was watching after kids who weren't my own kids, of course, there is so much less responsibility and burden. You know that you're only watching them for a certain amount of time. You know that when the night is done, you're going to go home and get a full night's sleep. Or even if you are watching them overnight, let's say it's even several nights. Let's say you're watching them for the whole weekend. You still know that there is an end in sight And there is a point where you are going to no longer be in charge of them, and you are going to be getting back to your routine and back to your full night of sleep and back to having your alone time and your self-care and your routines and whatever it is that you want to do. So that is one major difference, is that, hey, when we're a mom, like, it's never ending. And of course, that's a good thing and a hard thing all at the same time. There is no clocking off. You do not end your shift at any point in time, not even when they're 18, because you're still going to be their parent forever. And, you know, looking at my mom, who has all kids that are grown and gone, she does never stop being a mom. She does never stop worrying about us. She, you know, we see her all the time. We still go to her for things. So it's never ending. A mother's task, the honor of being a mother, is, you know, infinitely blessed, and it is also infinitely, you will infinitely be responsible for it. So there's lots to say there. But then another thing that I always think about is how, when I was watching kids, and actually this even translates into when I had my first kid, I started nannying for a family of five. So they had five kids, 5 years old and younger, and I nannied for them. I started just like once a week, and then it actually turned into almost full time. I was there almost 5 days a week from 9 to 5. It was actually a very good, like, blessing for us, because I really enjoyed the kids. They were very sweet. I aligned with, you know, the parents, like, parenting style. So that was nice. Not that it impacted my daughter too much, because she was less than a year old, but just as far as, like, what their behavior was and what they were allowed to do and not do. Like, it was all things that I agreed with. And actually, I learned a lot from watching them, because I really liked the parenting style of how their mom just, like, talked to them and explained things to them, and, you know, what they had to, like, be punished with, like, either losing out on a toy or losing out on a privilege or whatever, like, if they did something wrong. I really learned a lot from her. So it was definitely a great thing in our life at the time. And a great opportunity, you know, to make some money without having to leave my daughter. But I do look back, and I recall, this is crazy. It's crazy to look back on this. They were in a very unique living situation where they actually moved from another state. So where I live is their home state, but they had been living in another state for quite a while, and they only moved back temporarily because one of the parents' immediate family members was very sick and possibly not going to make it. So they moved back into a temporary living situation where they had two bedrooms. They just had a basement, like the basement, and then the upstairs was like their parents or whatever. So the basement was where we were essentially, like, confined to. And all that the basement had was their two bedrooms. So, like, the parents' room, and that was actually where the mom worked out of, her office. And then the kids' room. So all the kids shared a room, and then they had a bathroom, and then they had, like, a downstairs living room, which of course had been completely converted to a playroom. So our 8-hour days, 5 days a week, five kids, five and younger, plus my baby, were mostly spent in this playroom. We didn't go back in the bedroom because it was really small and basically filled with beds, you know, like a playpen or two and all the beds. And also, like, my daughter would sometimes nap back there. Sometimes their youngest would nap back there. So for the most part, we were in this playroom. And when I started watching them, it was actually January. And we live in the Pacific Northwest, so that meant lots of snow, rain, gloomy days. And just with how young all the kids were, we actually didn't even really start going outside until more like April. So we're talking January, February, March, 8-hour days, almost 5 days a week, watching six children. Granted, their youngest was often, like, brought upstairs to be with his grandma because he was super chill and it was just easier to have at least one baby out of the equation. So yes, for the most part, it was the four kids, five and younger, and then my baby, confined to one playroom. And I, you know, there were some days where it was, like, a bit challenging, but for the most part, I totally rose to the occasion and was like, yes, we can do this. We are going to make this work. We did not do screens. We had one showtime of, like, 30 minutes where all the kids would sit and watch something while they ate their lunch. And that was when I went and laid my daughter down, because she was still, like, not really used to just laying down and going to sleep. I usually had to nurse her and rock her and all of that. So when I got her down for her nap, they had their one show time for the day. But other than that, It was like creatively figuring out ways to entertain this large range of ages. You know, you have the 5-year-old who was a boy who just wanted to do like Legos or cars or, you know, G.I. Joe type like fun stuff like that. And then you had the 4 and 3-year-old girls who were very close in age. And, you know, in my head, they were almost like twins because they wanted to do the same things. They wanted to play newborn baby with the baby dolls, where I was like, you know, the mom who just had the baby, or they wanted to play, you know, little Barbies or little figurines or whatever. And then you had the 2-year-old who was kind of in her own little land. Like she wanted my help with puzzles, or she wanted my help like reading her a book. And then of course you had my baby who was on the go. She was crawling. We had to make sure nothing got dropped on the ground because she was definitely at a stage of putting everything in her mouth. So if the older kids were doing like a craft or something, we had to be really careful for like little paper pieces or glue sticks or whatever. We ended up getting this baby gate that can, you know, close up into like a little hexagon. So that was really nice because we would just close off that hexagon and the older kids would go in there with their little tiny kid table and do like a craft in there. So we got really good at, you know, I would just hop in there, help them out, hop back out, entertain the 2-year-old and my baby. And I got really good at that multitasking. It was like not even a big deal. There were definitely moments of overwhelm, but a lot of the time I found ways to just keep them entertained and keep them busy. And I still had to nurse my daughter a lot because she was just used to that. So there were many times where I'm sitting on the couch nursing her and I'm having to think of a way to entertain them. So we came up with all these games where I would play. I always brought my Bluetooth speaker and I would play music from my phone. I would play like a circus music like on repeat, and I would say, you know, they would all line up at the door. And I would say like, introducing the world famous, cutest ever, baby elephants. Dun, 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 dun. And then they would all come in and start like, you know, making a little elephant sound and using their arm as an elephant trunk. So things like that, or things like, okay, guys, I'm going to count to 10. I want you to go find something purple and bring it to me. 1, 2, and I would count to 10 and they would all run and find something purple, bring it to me. I would close my eyes and then I would open them and I would guess who gave me what. So things like that, where I had to really get creative and think of how the heck are we going to entertain this many kids in this little space for 8 hours? I mean, these kids have got energy. Like we gotta keep them on their toes. So I look back at that time and I am just like, I learned so, so much from that. There are definitely things that I thought of, like the circus thing I just said and the, you know, go find something purple, that I still do all the time for my own kids. In fact, just last night I was doing the, you know, run and find something red thing, because being that I'm pregnant, there are definitely times in the day where I want to be sitting on the couch, and my children certainly have an energy level quite opposite. And so we do things like that. Or I'll even say, you know, hop like a bunny to find something blue. When I count to 5, bring it back to me. So just ways that you can like verbalize what to do, and they're getting their energy out and they're still feeling the connection that you're like bonding with them, but without you having to meet them at that energy level, because it's just not always feasible. So that was kind of a tangent. I wasn't really planning on talking about ways to entertain your kid from your couch, but I guess it kind of turned into that a little bit. So when I look back and reflect on that time, sometimes I think, okay, how on earth did I manage to entertain this many kids in this small of a space and have the mental energy to be really fun, like all day long? I obviously never once yelled at them. Like, they weren't my own children. So that was never, like, I was never, ever even tempted to yell at them, no matter how rough of a day they were having. Obviously, these ages, like, they had days where they were very, very misbehaved. There were definitely days like that. And I had the mom down the hallway. So there's definitely a unique aspect there where, like, obviously, I was not even going to consider yelling because, yikes, I wouldn't want to be heard yelling at the children. But it also, like, it never even crossed my mind that I would yell at them. And if they were being, like, very misbehaved, I would actually usually just send them down and she would chat with them for a few minutes, kind of set them straight or pick if they needed to, like, sit out or whatever. So that was nice. It wasn't a weird dynamic. She's been, like, our family friend for a long time. So that worked out, but I don't want you to think that that meant she was often involved. It was often just me, and I was doing all the things. keeping them happy, keeping them entertained. And she even commented a lot on like, I'm so impressed that you're able to like keep them all entertained. Like there's never a point where they're like, what should we do? Like it was go, go, go. We were like one activity to the next. And I never ran out of ideas. I never ran out of like the mental energy to do it. If I did, you know, I sat on the couch and had to either feed my baby or, you know, whatever, just took like a physical break from exerting energy, but I was still mentally involved with them. Like at these ages and me being the babysitter, it was definitely never like, oh yeah, they're all just self-entertaining. Like that literally never happened, not once. And yet in motherhood, parenting our own children, it's almost like that's all we hope for. Like I live for those moments when my kids are self-entertaining themselves out back or self-entertaining themselves in the playroom or self-entertaining themselves separately. Like often my daughter will want to do something different, so she'll go do that alone in the bedroom. And, you know, my son will do something like outside or whatever. And when they're actually like not being super needy, I'm always like, oh, finally, like they're both, you know, playing on their own or whatever. Whereas when I nannied, that was never a thing. And I never like resented that or ran out of energy. But here's the key difference that I always think about. When I'm having my guilty moments, my guilty thoughts of like, how did I do that? And then now I can't even manage. Like, honestly, there are days where I look at my day spent with my kids. And as much as I love being a stay-at-home mom, and I always talk about that, there are days where I'm like, did I actually sit and do something with them? Or was it all just here, do trains, here, do magnet tiles, here, do this project, here, do this coloring book, here, do this game, here, do this figurine thing? Was it all just here, here, here? Or was it ever like, here, let's do this together? And I will admit, there are totally days where I don't do it with them, not even once. Like I look at my day and I'm like, oh my goodness, I didn't even like sit and do something with them, not even once. And I don't want to get confused with the stigma of like, there's totally two extremes here. Like some moms think that you got to sit and play with your kid all day long. Some moms say, oh, you don't got to sit and play with them at all. Like you're a mother, you have things to do. You got to keep up with the house, yada, yada. I totally think there's a happy medium. And here's what I have determined when I compare and say, wow, I literally played with the kids that I nannied like the entire day. Why can't I manage to play with my kids for more than a minute? Here's the major difference. While I was nannying those children, and remember I said we lived in the downstairs and the grandparents of the kids lived in the upstairs, they weren't like able to watch the children except for sometimes the baby. So that's why, you know, I was down there as the nanny. And as you can now imagine, being confined to the one room and just their ages and their energy levels, like it was definitely not for the faint of heart. So it was a good setup that they had me watching them. But it did mean that if I started the day early enough that it was like still breakfast time, the grandma was making the breakfast and then she was serving the breakfast. And I was just there to kind of like be a second set of like, no, no, so-and-so stay in your spot. But she was literally making it, serving it, cleaning it. And then same goes for lunch. And then same goes for like, if they had to go upstairs for snack, although for the most part, snacks were actually down in the playroom because they had a little mini fridge of like snacks that they had free reign of. So she was there doing that. And then the mom who was working remotely from the office, like she would pop out sometimes and throw a load of laundry in their like laundry room down there. So point being, I was not in charge of anything except for those kids. I was not in charge of cleaning anything. Well, I mean, except for the playroom we were in, like I made sure to do a final cleanup at the end of the day and kind of picking up crazy messes throughout. But I was not in charge of like getting the rest of the house clean or doing the laundry or doing the food or the cleanup of the kitchen. Like, let's just take a second to acknowledge how long the kitchen maintenance in and of itself, like that's a crazy task. So I wasn't in charge of any of that. And my husband was actually working out of town at the time. So when my daughter and I would get done from nannying, we would get home and we would just have like an easiest dinner ever. Like we would make sandwiches or we would have leftover pasta and, you know, whatever leftover we had in the fridge. It was very, very low key. She was less than one. She wasn't picky. I wasn't picky. and we were gone most of the day, so our house was left the same as when we left it. So our responsibilities at home were very minimal. So I was able to like fully pour myself into those 8 hours. I really just viewed it as a job. It's like, okay, this is my job. And it was so doable because that was my only responsibility. However, when it's our own children, we do have all the other things to worry about. We have to worry about getting the bills paid. We have to worry about when we're going to get to the grocery store, making the food, scheduling the doctor's appointments, all the things, right? But here's this crazy like revelation I had was I was thinking, okay, but when I was nannying these kids or when I have had, you know, jobs in the past, I just recently came from working for like 7 months outside of the home. It's not like I'm doing all of those things during that 8 hour day. So then how is that possible? Like, when is it getting done? And what I've realized is that when we do work full time, or in the instance of like when I was nannying, we're definitely a lot more disciplined with our time. So like we might have our to-do list of, hey, I'm not nannying on Friday. So on Friday, I'm going to pay all the bills, make the grocery list, you know, schedule a pickup or go to the store, meal plan for next week. Like I have all these things I'm going to do. Whereas when we don't have some kind of week-long responsibility, like a job or nannying, when we don't have that, it seems that we try to accomplish all the things like all throughout the day, every day. And so my lesson from that for myself and for you is to say that when we are going through our day with our kids, don't guilt yourself for saying like, oh, I'm not as fun as I thought I would be. However, do try to be a little more proactive and intentional about at least having some points of the day where you are not trying to do something else. I look back and I realize that when I do take those moments with my kids of like, hey, my phone is staying in my room. I am not trying to multitask and clean the kitchen. I am not trying to multitask and fold the laundry or clean something or even pick up toys that are just blaring me on the floor that I can't ignore. I am not going to do any of that. I'm going to just fully be present with them while we sit and play this game or while we sit and play figurines or while we play catch outside. Whatever it is, make a point of just doing those things at least a couple of times a day. It doesn't have to be long. It can be 10 minutes with each kid. Like 10 minutes is nothing, but to them, it's going to be the highlight of their day. And I don't say that to be dramatic. Like I say this from experience, because when I have been more intentional about days like this, my daughter will literally tell my husband, like when he comes home and asks about her day, she's like, Mommy and I did this. And it's just the most exciting thing ever to her. And for me, it was 10 minutes out of my day. And here's the thing. We tend to think that this 10 minutes or longer is going to put us so behind on all these other tasks. But if we're more disciplined with these tasks, like imagine if you were working. And that's what I always think. I'm like, okay, when I was working, I still had all these responsibilities I had to do, but I was just more disciplined about them. I could crunch all of them out. So my schedule when I was working was Tuesday through Saturday because I really enjoyed that Monday to just, I would get a lot of household stuff done, you know, any kind of phone calls or appointments we needed to do. My Monday was so productive because I knew that my Tuesday through Saturday I was going to be gone. And then Sunday we tried to have more as like a relaxing and family day, you know, where we started the day with church and all of that. So my Monday was like, I basically got my week's worth of to-dos done in a day. So now I look at that and I say, okay, there's no reason I can't still do that. Granted, things are a little more unique for me right now because I do have all of my like work from home endeavors with my Crunchy Catholic business and physical products, digital products, and a network marketing company that I now share for. So there's a lot of that, which thank you God is finally like another income for us. Definitely looking good there. But that is a very unique like additional aspect of where I have to spend my time. But the point being, no matter your walk of life, work from home, full-time working, full-time stay at home, trying to add a side hustle or not trying to add a side hustle, however old your kids are, there are always ways that you can tweak and improve your discipline with your time spent so that you are not stuck making the excuse of, I don't have time to play with my kids, but instead you are being more intentional with your time so that you can make time to play with your kids. And that was kind of a pretty big tangent of the one point of like, are you the mom you once thought you were? But my point is, you can take any aspect of like, oh, I used to think I would be like this and instead I'm like that. You can take any aspect of that, and I want you to reflect on it with the same depth that we just reflected on that one point, where you can say, okay, what did I used to think I was going to be like? Am I still like that? Why am I maybe not like that? Are there things I can do to correct that? So take literally any example, and you can ask yourself those same questions and go through that same thought process. And rather than chalk it off as like, well, I'm just not a fun mom, I guess, or rather than chalk it off as I just don't have time to play with my kids, I want you to look at it and really ask yourself, well, can I be a fun mom? Do I want to be a fun mom? Can I play with my kids maybe once or twice a day? Do I have time to play with them once or twice a day? And ask yourself these questions, because there is no point in your motherhood that is too late to be the mom that you want it to be. So for me, reflecting back, I'm like, you know what? I did used to picture myself as doing a lot more one-on-one playtime than I actually do, a lot more craft time than I actually do, a lot more like slow intentional living than I actually do. Like, there are days where we are like scrambling out the door and I'm all, come on, you guys, go, 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 hurry. We're going to be late. And I really don't like that. Like, that is something that I vowed to never be like. I never wanted to be the mom that was running late everywhere. And instead, it feels like we are. And so I really encourage you to just look back at the type of mom either that you used to think you were going to be, or even looking presently at like, what is the type of mom that you want to be? And I honestly, I'm actually going to do this. I'm like, I didn't even think this was going to get this far, but I am totally going to do this like tonight or tomorrow. I encourage you to sit down and journal it out. Please, please, if you're not a journaling person, consider it, because it does make such a difference to actually put pen on paper versus just thinking of this stuff in your head. I encourage you to actually take pen to paper. Maybe I'll make a template at some point of like questions to ask yourself, but I encourage you to like sit and write down, what is the type of mom that I want to be? Like, what is the ideal type of mom? Don't be drastic with it. Like, don't get carried away with something that's like not practical, but what are some things, just make like a little bullet point, like maybe 3 or 5 things of the type of mom that you want to be, or the type of mom that you used to think you were going to be. And then reflect on that and say, okay, do I do these things? Am I this type of mom? And if the answer is no, give yourself some grace. Do not guilt yourself, but instead ask, okay, why is this answer no? So for me, one of my examples would be, I definitely used to think and presently think that it's a good goal to say that I am the type of mom who is not running late for things all the time. I understand occasionally things happen, but here's the thing. If we can sit here and say, oh, but things always happen, then how about we always plan for things to happen? That's how I need to be. I need to be like, okay, if it's always a struggle to find shoes, or if it's always a struggle to say, oops, Mackenzie, we forgot to do your hair. Like, that's literally seems like every time. Every time we're scrambling to find shoes, and every time I'm saying, oh, shoot, Mackenzie, we forgot to do your hair. And she has long, thick, beautiful hair. If it's not like freshly done, it can look pretty wild pretty fast. So those are some very common trends for us. I'm really good about being ahead of the game with packing the diaper bag and with packing snacks, but it's the last minute things that I forget about is like, oh, where's everyone's shoes? They're randomly spread out in the backyard somewhere. And yes, maybe we should just own more shoes, but we try to be minimal. And my goodness, their feet are always growing. It's like impossible to keep up. And depending on what the weather is like, there's usually like, oh, hey, it's raining, you need your rain boots. Or, oh, hey, it's 90 degrees out, you need your sandals. There's usually like not gobs of options. And I'm okay with that. I don't want them to each own 30 pairs of shoes only to grow out of in a month. So those are trends that I know are like an every time thing for us. So rather than let it happen every time, I need to be more proactive and say, okay, you know what? If I know we're going somewhere that day, I'm going to find those shoes like at the beginning of the day, and I'm going to put them up high and say, okay, these shoes are not walking away anywhere because I already put them aside. And now I know exactly where they are when it's time to go out the door. we're going to do, you know, my daughter's hair first thing in the morning. If it gets a tiny bit frizzly before we go wherever it is, so what? At least it's way better than how it looked before. So reflect on things in that manner. Like, hey, how do I want to be? How am I currently? What steps can get me from A to B? And then make a plan. Implement like how you're actually going to follow through with these goals. Maybe share them with someone, share them with your spouse, share them with your kids. Like, hey guys, you know, mommy doesn't really like when we're going somewhere and I'm having to tell you guys like, hurry, 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 buckle, 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 buckle. That is literally what I sound like when we're going places, because I am like, oh, it's a half hour away and it starts at, you know, 2 p.m. We can leave at 1:30. No, Rosie, you can't, because you forget that you have 3 children who need to be buckled up and who stop and smell the roses at every little object that crosses their path. So to think that you can walk out the front door at 1:30 and actually pull your vehicle out at 1:30, you're crazy. You're crazy. And why do I still think that way? Why do I still not factor how long it actually takes for us to get in the car? And then, oh, I forgot my stuffy. Oh, I forgot my water. Oh, where's mommy's wallet? Where's my sunglasses? Oops, I need to mix up my drink real quick. All of these things. Why do I not factor that in? It's craziness to honestly sit here and be like, yep, it is what it is. It happens every time. No, if it happens every time, then make adjustments. So again, that was kind of a big tangent, but we can go through that thought process, the journaling process. I'm telling you, write it down. It hones it in on your brain like that much better. Write it out of going through that process of like, again, I know I'm beating a dead horse here, but what is the type of mom I want to be? Am I currently that type of mom? What do I need to do to get there? This goes with everything. This goes with being on time. This goes with being positive. This goes with like, are you a complainer? Are you a negative mom? There are things that I have gotten into the habit of saying that I am like, oh my goodness, if I was a fly on a wall, like if the past me was a fly on a wall to see the present me, I would be horrified. Like there's certain mannerisms of like, yep, well, you know, if you guys would have gotten your act together, maybe we would have actually made it on time. Something like that. Like, that's a horrible thing to say to your kids. Is it really their fault that they didn't get their act together? Or was it your fault for not being more on top of it? Like, that's just a tendency that I have. Sometimes I only think it. Sometimes I actually say it. And it's something that I'm really not proud of. But here's the thing. When it comes to motherhood, we're not always held accountable for these things. When we have a job, we are held accountable for our, you know, by our boss. When we're in school, we are held accountable by our teacher. If we have some kind of personal trainer for our gym goals, we're held accountable by them. Every other aspect of life, for the most part, like even in your social circle, you might be essentially quote unquote held accountable for like showing up to events now and then because you have your circle who's like, hey, where were you? Or hey, we'd love to see you. You know, if you have like a work from home business or whatever, you might have a business coach or even just a business bestie. Or, you know, if you're in the network marketing realm, you have like an upline and a whole team, you have all of them holding you accountable. But when it comes to motherhood, especially if your kids are still very little, my oldest daughter is only just now kind of getting to the point where she can be like, hey mom, remember you said this, but then you did that. And I'm like, oh wow, she's putting me in my place. And on one hand, you might be like, oh, you know, that's a smart aleck thing to say. I totally appreciate it. I am like, I need that accountability. But at the same time, I don't want to put that responsibility on my six-year-old, my almost six-year-old. Like, I don't want her to have to be like, hey, mom, remember you said we weren't going to be late for church again, but we were. Yes, I know, McKenna. Like, I don't want that to even have to be a dynamic. I should be the responsible adult setting the example, because you know what? We are not only setting such a tone for our own family dynamic, but we are also like really establishing some deeply rooted habits and mindsets for them in their life. I do not want to be the reason that my daughter goes on to have a job that she's like notoriously late for. I look back at one of the jobs that I had. I was a manager at a hotel and we had an employee. She was literally a few minutes late every single shift. And it was a big deal because we scheduled the schedule to be really tight, where the person who needed to leave, like, literally needed her to be right on time so that they could leave on time. And if they had somewhere they needed to be, then that's really frustrating, you know? So she was always late, like always. And I remember I would see her coming from the parking lot, scrambling out of her car and like running to the building. And in my head at the time, I wasn't a mom yet. She actually wasn't either. But anyways, this is just how, you know, an example of how people can have these different habits. She was always like, I know, I'm trying, I'll do better. And she was a great worker, like awesome personality, very friendly person, like, you know, great, like views, like-minded. I loved her. She was such a great worker, but I couldn't wrap my head around why she was late every day. Cause in my head, I'm like, okay, well, if you know you're late, just leave earlier. Like, I don't understand. It's not like she was coming from, you know, school where she was like, oh, I'm coming from school every day and the drive is just a little too close, you know, where I'm not making it. It wasn't that. It was literally, she was trying to leave from home and she was just always cutting it too close. And in my head at the time, I was just like flabbergasted, not understanding why she couldn't just leave earlier. And I was never, ever, ever late at that time in my life. And then slowly but surely entering motherhood, it was like I just lost sight of that. And I started to think that we could leave at a certain time and then started finding ourselves being late to things. And I do not want to put that or the whole like talking negatively in like a passive aggressive tone, like, well, you kids, blah, blah, blah. I don't ever want to have that be who I am. And we can really reflect in that same manner on anything, like anything at all. What kind of example are you setting to your children of the type of adult that they want to grow up to be? Are you having times where you're sitting on the couch and reading a book and saying, hey, I'm going to leave the mess and I'm going to have these 10 minutes to decompress? Leave the mess to decompress. Are you setting the example to them that you don't always have to be on the run, on the go, scrambling late for things? What kind of example are you setting for them? And are you the mother that you always thought you wanted to be? And are you the mother that you aspire to be? So sit down, write out those goals. Don't guilt yourself. Give yourself lots and lots of grace. But this is just a way of essentially holding yourself accountable to raising your motherhood to the next level. Because just because it's motherhood and we don't have a boss to answer to or a personal trainer or a business coach or what have you, doesn't mean that we can't still find ways to be better. And I know sometimes we think, oh, I'm going to be better by learning how to bake bread or learning how to, you know, keep my house cleaner. But what about the more like abstract things? And so that's why I wanted to make this episode talking about things that aren't necessarily tangible, things that aren't necessarily measurable, but things that are so important nonetheless. The way we talk, the way we act, the way we react, the manner in which we implement habits in our life and actually stick to them is all so, so important. Arguably even more important than, oh, I knew how to make a lot of things from scratch and I set that example to my kid. Yes, that's very important and that is a wonderful life skill to teach them. But are you also teaching them by your example and then by, you know, teaching them when they're old enough to need this skill as well? Are you teaching them like how to mentally process things when something doesn't go your way or how to control your emotions when you want to react to something that frustrated you? These are things that we don't often think about and we don't often measure like where we're at. And that means that if we're slipping and we're getting worse at something, we're not necessarily catching it and stopping ourselves and thinking, wait a second, I need to improve this. I'm going to end this with an analogy that I remember hearing many years ago. It was actually at a network marketing company conference that I went to, which is crazy to think that I've ever been to one of those because that was like, anyways, a long time ago, a company that I won't ever partner with again. It's still funny to think that I spent so much time with them, but it all led to me learning and growing in so many different ways. But the analogy that this awesome personal development speaker gave was that in life, and this can apply, obviously he meant it in business, but I'm going to mean it in motherhood here. Imagine that you are holding on to a rope. It is like the rope of life, and you are constantly needing to climb this rope to get better. You need to put one hand above the other and pull yourself up on this rope to get better and better and better. So applying this again to motherhood. And if you stop if you stop intentionally taking those steps, one hand after the other, to get better, guess what happens when you're holding on to that rope, when you're staying stagnant? When you think you're staying still, you are actually sliding down. So in motherhood, unless you are proactively taking steps, which I feel like I just gave you some really good ways of doing that with the journaling and the thought process and everything, unless you are taking these steps, you are not just staying still, but you're actually sliding down. You're actually going to be going backwards. So some encouragement for you today. By the grace of God, I will pray for you that you are able to improve in the areas that you want to improve on. And I hope you'll keep me in your prayers as well, especially as I go through this fourth pregnancy, healthy, beautiful baby girl to be born sometime in the fall. And thank you for listening, my friends, and God bless you.